So we're going to turn to God's Word together. Our reading this morning is from Romans chapter 8 and verses 31 to 39. As you'll see on the screen in the Pew Bible, it's page 944. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing, says the apostle, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. This morning I want us to think especially of the certainty, the fact that we can be absolutely convinced of the reality of the Christian faith and of our experience in Jesus Christ. And I suppose the first question we ought to ask is, how sure can we be? How sure can we be? How sure can I be that when this life comes to an end, I'm going to heaven? It's true, isn't it? In some things, certainty is not possible. And there are many aspects of life in which we can have no certainty. Indeed, a well-known American president once said that there are only two certainties in life. One is taxation. And may I remind you, your tax bill will be due in January. One is taxation, and the other is death. But when we come to what we're thinking of this morning, the Apostle Paul in Romans has actually been building a case, been bringing, and in chapter 8 we come to the conclusion of what he's doing. He's a bit like a barrister in the court of law. He's presenting the case from chapter 1 all the way through, and what we're looking at this morning at the end of chapter 8 is actually the conclusion. The barrister's made his defense, he's made his case, and that's the final crunch, if you like. Paul has built the case. And what he's basically saying is this. Believers, Christians, can be certain of their salvation. They can absolutely be certain. They can be sure. They can be convinced. They can have no doubts at all. And where does this begin? Well, he begins it actually in this passage in the first verse of chapter 8. He says, look, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Be sure of this, says the apostle. You're never going to perish. Nothing can separate you from him. Why can you be so certain? Ah, and this is where we come to the crunch of what the apostle has been doing all the way through Romans. How can we be absolutely certain? Ah, I've lived a good life. What a load of nonsense. I've been kind to people. It gets worse, doesn't it? Well, you know, I've been so good, I deserve to go to heaven. I'm sure there's not one of us thinking like that this morning. I trust not anyway. No, the apostle has done the very, very, very opposite. He's actually certain, never because, not even what he was, he's certain because of what Christ has done. He's absolutely certain of his salvation because of what Christ has done. Now, Mike jokingly pointed out my point four. I didn't tell him in my first point, how sure can we be? I've got 6 points, actually. And that's only on point one. He'd have been very worried if I'd told him that. But let's just quickly look at this, because it is important. Why is the apostle so absolutely certain? Why can you and why can I be certain this morning? Because we've been delivered from the consequences of the law. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ has delivered us from the consequences of the law. In chapter 6 and verse 14, we read these verses. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Now, if we were under law, of course, I would have to be saying this morning that your case is lost. Yeah, you've got no hope. I'd give up if I was you. But no, the apostle is not saying that. Why? Well, the law is there to condemn. I'm sure none of you do it. You wouldn't dream of breaking the 30-mile-an-hour speed limit and getting a ticket, would you? What does the law say? You break the limit and you get a fine. And you get 3 points as well. What is the apostle saying? The law will always condemn you. You break the law, and we've all broken the law. That's what sin is. We've broken the law. But the law condemns, but Christ has paid the price that the law demands, and so we're delivered from the law. As in chapter 8, verse 3, he says, we're not under the law anymore. The law can't condemn us. We're not living by the law. We're living by grace. The law now has been satisfied. Christ has fulfilled all that is necessary. And in chapter 3, we haven't got time to go into it, where he speaks about justification. Paul's a brilliant barrister. The jury would have to pay attention to him. No longer do we have to be worried about it. We've been freed from the condemnation of the law. And the second point we need to remind ourselves of under this, that we can be absolutely certain, is that the eternal life, says the apostle, is always already present. Now, that's a bit of a difficult one in one sense, isn't it? Eternal life is already present? Well, yes, that's what the apostle is actually saying. In principle, eternal life is already ours. And that is because of the indwelling Spirit. We have the Spirit of God, verse 9 of chapter 8, the Spirit of life. And so the body dies, but the soul lives. And that's already begun. It's not, and it's difficult for us to grasp it, isn't it? That now we have eternal life, especially when you think of, you know, the aches and the pains and the suffering and the problems. Yes, this body is a bit of a pain sometimes, isn't it? Literally. But we have eternal life. It's ours now. That's why we can be utterly convinced. It's not something that we'll get in the future. We've already got. And the third thing the apostle is reminding us here is that we have it because we are children of God. Or as he puts it here, sons of God. If we have the Spirit of life, we are children of God. And if we are children of God, we're heirs, joint heirs. In other words, the inheritance is already ours. We may have to wait a little bit for it, but it's signed, sealed, and delivered. You know, I need to redo my will again. Some will benefit, some won't. But the will has been made. And there'll be nobody coming to challenge it. And there'll be nobody going to change it. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. And it's irrevocable. It's done forever and forever. And there's no plea and there's no judge on this world that can change it. It's done, it's sealed, it's finished. And what does it say? Your inheritance is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And it's part of the purposes of God for us. This is what Paul is reminding us of. Be sure, my dear friends, this morning. He calls us to be certain that what Christ has done is sufficient. He's justified us. He's made us righteous. He's imputed, in other words, he's given to us all that the law demands. Now, if it was dependent upon us, we'd be in a right mess, wouldn't we? We'd be absolutely useless. And let me emphasize this by saying, and if it depended even upon our repentance, in the sense that because we're so good, we repented. Because we're so good, we're believing. If we think we can do that in our own strength, then we've got a problem. Even our repentance, even our believing, even our faith, says the Apostle Paul, is dependent upon the grace of God. That's why we can be convinced that all is good, all is certain, because of what God has done in Jesus Christ. And finally in this, we can be sure because God loves us. My, oh my. Can you understand why God loves us? Difficult to believe, isn't it? Difficult to understand. If we were nice and good, perhaps it would be understandable. But we're not. But he's loved us. And not only did he love us, he does love us. And what the Apostle Paul is saying, you can be utterly convinced. Why? Because he will love us. He loved us in the past, before we were even born. He loves us today. And he'll love us when eternity is. And that's the wonder of it all. And the love is, well, it just, as the theologians call it, it's immutable. It just cannot change. It's certain. And so, you can be certain. I can be certain. Because of the indestructible nature of faith. It's based on Jesus Christ. Because of the imperishable nature of the grace of God. It's not dependent on me or you. God's purposes are absolute. The work of Christ is sufficient. The indwelling of the Spirit brings it about. We don't have to keep ourselves. That's the good news, isn't it? So, you can be absolutely sure. But, says the Apostle, while you can be absolutely sure, don't think it's going to be a doddle. Because there are going to be some charges brought against you. Who brings charges against us? Well, I don't know if you do it, but I bring charges against myself as a Christian often. You know, there's nothing worse for a preacher than Monday mornings, when you realize the mess you made of the day before. Oh, you're useless. Why don't you give up? And then, of course, just like anybody else, the preacher falls into sin. And his faith gets weak. And he We do condemn ourselves, don't we? We do bring charges against ourselves, foolish as we are. And then others. Who brings any charge against us? Well, others. Things they say about us. The innuendos. The conversations. Oh yes. There's not one of us who haven't suffered it, has there? And it knocks us. Will it remove our certainty? Oh no. The primary one who brings charges against us, of course, is the one who is called the enemy, the great accuser, Satan. It's his job. He's full time at it. That's what he's all about. I think it's C.S. Lewis in his Screwtape Letters who speaks about the devil and the little devils, etc., etc. They're full time, 24 hours a day. Can he flatten us? Can he remove the fact that we are convinced, that we are sure? No, he can't. Why? Because it's based upon Jesus Christ. It's based on the fact that God has loved us. It's based on the fact that God has called us. It's based on the fact that Jesus Christ has justified us by his death. Who condemns? Well, the answer is many. But it makes not a scrap of difference, because their condemnation doesn't matter a scrap. The one who justifies is the only one that matters. The condemnation is irrelevant because Christ has dealt with all the issues. He died. He rose again. He is at the right hand of the Father. And this morning as we're sitting here rejoicing, the year's gone, the year's coming, and we can be absolutely convinced. What's he doing? He's in heaven interceding for us. Oh, undeserving, miserable sinners that we are. He's there doing that for us. My dear friends, are you convinced this morning that all is well with your soul? Why? Because of Jesus Christ. But what might derail us? What might derail us? You know, I'm not failing to face the realities of life. And the apostle in this passage faces it quite wholesomely. He actually gives seven things that could derail us. A lot of points this morning, aren't there? But he gives seven things that could derail us. We find them in verse 35. There are things that could derail us in the temporary. There are things that knock us, aren't there? You know, we're not going to be triumphant in the wrong sense today. There are things that hurt us badly. You know, I was speaking to somebody last couple of days who is very, very, very down. He's a very dear friend of mine. He had an affair with this lady and she went away. And he never heard from her for months and months and months. He discovered that he had a son who was 7 months old when he discovered he had a son. Can you imagine it? Oh, there are things that derail people. He was devastated. It's tough sometimes, isn't it, in life, things that happen. He's struggling still. There are things that derail us. Tribulation, trouble, hardship, afflictions. They can be outward, they can be inward. And they do knock us, don't they? We're not going to be unrealistic this morning about the things that go on in life. We don't get too much of it ourselves, do we? But the Apostle Paul speaks about persecution. He talks about distress, hardships. Persecution for some people around the world today, some Christians, it's a reality, isn't it? And then for many, you know, we've just been eating far too much, probably, if we're honest, over Christmas, haven't we? For some, it hasn't been like that. It's been famine. It's been hunger. It can be real. And it can be nakedness. There are people literally who have nothing, aren't there? You know, those of us who've lived in other parts of the world have seen poverty to a degree that's unbelievable. And there are dangers. I was listening to a person on the news the other day. He's a defense correspondent, or he's a professor at one of the universities, I think, and he was saying, we actually are living in the most dangerous time since before the Second World War. That's his summing of the situation in the world today. Yeah, we do face dangers. But you know, if you were in Myanmar today, it wouldn't be a theory of a person giving his opinion on television. As they go to the election, it's a reality. Civil war problems. Christians especially, and I have friends there. You know, it's not theory, it's fact. There are dangers, there are perils. And there are still those who face the sword, aren't they? What do you say to people who are going through all this? Would I be bold enough to stand and say, for I am convinced, in the face of all these things, yes, says the Apostle Paul, in the face of all these things, that's the time we need to say, I am convinced, I am sure. We can say to our brothers and sisters in Myanmar today, we can say to our brothers and sisters in Ukraine today, I am convinced, and you can be convinced too. You may suffer trouble. You may suffer hardship. You may suffer persecution. You may suffer famine. You may suffer nakedness. You may suffer danger. You may suffer, well, you're probably facing most of them. But you can be convinced. Why? Because these things are not going to undermine. They're not going to negate. They're not going to make less what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Paul was not an academic in the sense he's just dealing with theory. Paul was a realist. And what he's saying is, you and I can be absolutely convinced. Convinced that nothing, not even in those situations, will separate us. They will not derail us. As far as our proof is concerned. Why? And finally, why? Because God is for us. God is for us. He, verse 31, he who did not spare his only son. He who did not spare his only son. That is the absolute final proof of everything. You know, we joke about love, we talk about it, and we talk about presence and all these things. But this is the final proof of love. That God did not spare his son. And so says the apostle, I couldn't care less what you bring against me. I am sure, I am absolutely certain, death, it won't separate me from Christ. Death separates us one from another, doesn't it? Death separates us from the ones we love. Death separates us from our families. Death separates us from our very best friends. Death, says the apostle, will never separate us from God. Death will never separate us from Christ. Death will not be victorious in any sense. Why? Because death was defeated when Jesus rose from the grave. That's the absolute power that will bring everybody else to life again. Jesus has done it. And then he goes on with the list, and I'm not going to go into them all. For angels, rulers, things present or things to come, height nor depth, nothing else. Why? Simply because of this. And it's quite simple, really. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing is able to, because it's all in Jesus Christ. And if you go through Romans, and I love Romans, from chapter 1 to chapter 8, as I've said, the apostle builds up the case. My dear friends, you know, I haven't got a clue what next year is going to bring, and you haven't either. We haven't got a certainty we'll get there yet, have we? But you and I can be certain of this. Nothing is going to separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can take away your salvation. Why? Because you're good? No, I address that. No. Because God in Christ has loved us. And you and I rejoice today in this one simple statement. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Are you convinced? Every Christian should be able to say, I am utterly, absolutely convinced, no matter what, nothing. I don't deserve it, but nothing. I don't know all I should know, but nothing. Nothing will separate me from the love of God.